T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. We're teamed up once again with Washington State Council of Firefighters, our buddies, and Operation Warm for Coats for Kids. We need your help to get these kids. 300,000 children in Washington State needing coats.
Oh, we're hoping to raise about, I think $50,000.
That's what we're trying to do.
Goal. It was going to be a lot of coats for kids. Last year, we hit over 80,000, which was thanks all because of the Rockaholics, including people like Mark Ryan, who just donated $50. Chuck Davis, $150, donated a coats for kids. Jennifer Kay, $20. That's one coat on a kid, one brand new coat, which is badass. And Jeff Briggs donated $100 to Coats for Kids.
You can go to KISW.com to donate. We also made it easier. You can do it on your phone. Just donate via text this year by texting KISW Give to 44321. It's as simple as that. Text KISW Give to 44321 and you're in. Want to thank Palace Law for matching up to $1,000 in donations and all the info, man, for helping out those kids getting those coats. KISW.com.
Let's play Beat Mix.
It's time to play the game. So everybody scream his name. Beat Mix. Don't be a loser. Whoa. Beat Mix. You're a loser.
Happy hump day.
Yes, that's right.
Wednesday.
Good job.
Let's go.
Hey. I went down this rabbit hole we were talking about the Kraken shirts and stuff, I think during the break or during last break, how if it's not the right color, not the right shade, we won't get it. And so it got me thinking, like, what other colors represent, and I know we've talked about it, but I realized I never knew what the colors of the Seahawks, like, logo represented, and I was curious if you guys knew.
I don't know. As a matter of fact, do you actually have it? Because I know they have a history to what the Kraken logo colors are all about.
If you go on their website, like, it still breaks it down. Like, this color blue represents the blue in the eyes of the girl that was once a lady of the night, I think.
Yes, exactly.
It's pretty amazing how deep they went with that.
It was Roxanne.
Well, I mean, this is a city built on prostitution.
Yeah. You know what? We got to get those deep blue eyes from the working ladies back in the logger days.
It was the red light. Roxanne, don't turn it on.
Yep,
that's where the red eye comes from.
Yes.
Thin red stripe.
So we have College Navy, Action Green, and Wolf Gray. And these are Seahawks colors.
Yeah, and this is relatively new when you think about it, because this is our third set of colors we've had for the Hawks.
All right. The colors represent the blue water, the lush green landscape, and the gray for the mountain ranges.
Well, I guess... I had no idea,
so...
I always thought it was just a take on the fact that we were blue and green before.
But when I look at the beautiful greenery here in the Pacific Northwest, I always think of a very bright green.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of funny that they say that, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I know, I went down that rabbit hole,
but the gray
curious.
I think the gray is cool that they incorporated that, because we have gray here a lot.
Gray skies.
The more you know. All right, we're going to move on to more trivia with Joe from Renton. Joe, are you ready to play Beat Migs?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Joe. Welcome, buddy.
I'm going to assume yes. Steve, get out of here.
Okay, goodbye.
For those playing at home, Joe has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you do only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Nice.
How many swimmers are in a medley relay team?
4.
Yes. What food product calls itself the snack that smiles back?
Goldfish.
Yes. Martha Stewart is a cousin of which talk show host?
Pass.
How many inches is the diameter of a traditional basketball hoop?
24?
Nope.
23?
Nope.
25?
No. The Mavericks is a professional basketball team from where?
Dallas.
Correct. How many candles are on a menorah?
8.
No.
9.
Yes. A goober is what coated in chocolate?
A peanut.
Correct. What kind of dog is used for the logo by Mack Trucks?
Bulldog.
Correct. Beginning with S, what is the name of the Italian anise flavored liqueur?
Sambuca?
Yes.
Good job.
What French word describes the person working at the front desk of a hotel?
Maitre d'.
No.
Oh.
Concierge?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Correct, though. That was a pretty good run, though.
Let's hope that the concierge isn't the difference maker, though. Let's hope not.
I know. I feel like he would say, like, menage a trois or something.
I have a bone to pick with you about one of these questions, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay. I walked into the room and you looked at me and go, I have a bone to pick. I'm like, what? What did I just walk
in? I feel like I need to contact HR.
Just like shinny, it's a real word that doesn't mean what you think it means, all you hockey people and you people hear things wrong. Yeah, okay.
All right,
like Allison, I use words that mean something. Not what your filthy minds think.
Sure. Are you ready, Steve?
Ah, yes.
How many swimmers are in a medley relay team?
A medley? I'm going to go 3.
No.
5.
No.
6.
No.
4?
Yeah.
Yes.
What food product calls itself the snack that smiles back?
He'll never get this.
Snack that smiles back? Pringles?
No.
Apples?
No.
Watermelon?
No.
Wow.
Martha Stewart is a cousin to which talk show host?
Snoop Dogg.
No.
Drew Barrymore?
No.
Oprah?
No. How many inches is the diameter of a traditional basketball hoop?
15.
No.
19.
No.
20.
No.
21?
No. The Mavericks is a professional basketball team. Yep. How many candles are on a menorah?
13.
No.
14.
No.
12.
No.
11?
No. Yeah, a goober is what coated in chocolate?
A goober?
A goober is a what coated in chocolate?
A raisin?
No.
An almond?
No.
A peanut?
Yes. Yay. What kind of dog is used for the logo by Mack Trucks?
Pitbull.
No.
Hold on.
I'll give it to you because this music was still going. Ooh. But 1, 2, 3. Correct. What? 3 correct?
Yeah.
That's a major loss.
I had to work through all those 3, though.
Wow.
I had to earn that 3.
Joe,
you destroyed him, buddy. Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Good game.
Oh, thanks for playing, buddy. Oh, Steve, you get this, though. This is very exciting.
Yes, cool. Steve. I had to grind that one out.
I don't think that was even grinded.
No. But just to get 3, I had to work for it.
Yeah, Joe was the Seattle Kraken, and you weren't even the LA Kings.
No, I was more like the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, that was.
The food, the snack that smiles back.
Hey, but you can sing it all you want. I have no idea.
Goldfish.
Yeah, I don't know that.
No, you didn't know the little jingle?
No, I don't know that at all.
Snack that smiles.
You know,
back.
I will say Goldfish. That I was surprised with your Pringles answer because, like, I laughed at first, but then I thought about it. I was like, it kind of does smile at you.
Kind of.
You overthought it more than I did. I just was trying to think of a snack that makes me happy.
Oh, well.
And Pringles do.
Good answer, Steve. Good answer.
I think my head's got too many jingles in it, and I just don't have room for the Goldfish jingle.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember the Goldfish jingle.
I don't know if it was a relatively new thing, like, with, like, my childhood, or was it, like, a recent, like, the little brother's child. I don't know.
But they have smiles on the crackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
See, I can't. Goldfish bring back not an awful memory. It was a fun memory, but it was many, many years ago before, like, you know, things were like regulated with like the they have these days, and you know how much is in what. This dude made a bunch of weed goldfish. Basically, took goldfish and then like put weed butter on them.
Whoa!
He's like, just have a couple because these are gonna knock you on your ass, and you know we're all like. Well,
it's goldfish, though.
But I'm hungry. I need a handful.
So you have a couple, but then, you know, you forget and you're getting stoned and you're like kind of want to snack on stuff. And goldfish are a great snack when you're stoned.
The worst train to be in.
Yeah. So we just kept munching on them.
Oh, yeah.
And none of us could move after that. Like, we were done. Done, Dundee. Like, we couldn't even stand, BJ. It was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could. That's, yeah. You can't. You got to have regular. I don't know what you got. You got to have some other snack there so you don't do the goldfish.
Or, like, have the goldfish weed ones, but then have a bag of regular goldfish that are, like, just cool for snacking on.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I had the same experience, but they were homemade Cheez-Its.
Same thing?
But it's like, yeah, same thing.
Weeds-its?
Weeds-its, yeah.
Weeds-its. Yeah, you can't do that with either one of those.
But they're
you
so good.
Them all.
Ganja just, fish yum, and weeds. Yum, yum, yum. Does anybody know who the cousin of Martha Stewart is, who is a talk show host?
So is it a current talk show
yes.
host? Oh, all right. Then you know what? I'm not, I have no bone to pick
Jimmy
with
Jimmy Fallon.
You.
Yes.
What?
Really?
It is Jimmy Fallon. Or excuse me, Jimmy Kimmel. Sorry.
I Jimmy Kimmel and Martha Stewart.
Our cousins.
I feel like I know that from a long time ago, but I now that you said it, I think I have heard him mention that.
Does anybody know how many inches is the diameter of a traditional basketball hoop?
Is it 18?
Yes.
Wow. I was dancing all around it.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those answers that I said I want to memorize in case I have $1 million question.
Well, you didn't get $1 million, but you got the question right.
Woo! I'm ready for that one.
Joe did get correct. How many candles are on a menorah? There are 9. You got like the 4 and 4 for the 8 day, eight days and nights or whatever.
Crazy.
And then you have that one in the middle.
Oh, yes. The 8 days and nights and then the extra.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I went way overboard.
Oh, yeah. Two that you did not get to. Beginning with S, what is the name of the Italian anise flavored liqueur?
You don't know this?
What is the what?
Beginning with S, what is the name of the Italian anise flavored liqueur?
Oh, crap.
No, it's not crap. It's shinny.
It's shinny, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Ciparella?
It's on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, Ciparella is not it.
Sambuca.
Sambuca.
Yeah. Not sarsaparilla or Ciparella.
Not Ciparella?
No.
And another one you didn't get to, but he didn't get correct until, like, after the fact. What French word describes the person working at the front desk of a hotel?
Oh, concierge.
There you go.
Man. Ooh. Hey.
So,
so wait, what were you going to nitpick there, BJ?
Oh, it's
shows.
Over. I told her. Yeah, she was okay. Right.
Sorry.
I think he thought it could have been like a past talk show.
Yeah,
host.
If it was a past talk show host, okay. I'd be like, oh God, really? They're not a talk show host anymore. But you know what? It was current. So
yes.
I Vicky did a good job. I hate to say these things.
There it is.
Don't make me say it, Danny.
Thank you, Sarah, for helping me with the questions.
Yeah. BuzzFeed recently did a Never Have I Ever poll on their website, and of course lots of folks got on there and voted, and this is interesting. When asked about underwear, 40% of people claim they have never worn the same underwear multiple days in a row. I feel like that number should be higher.
Wait, so there are a group of people who wear the same underwear multiple times?
Yeah.
Without washing them?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Because, I mean, I've worn underwear and then had a laundry day and then wore the exact same ones the next day because I'm like, oh, I like these ones. I like the color. I'm going to put them back on, but they're clean.
I've done that.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I mean, aside from camping, like, as a kid, I don't really remember, like, not changing my underwear every day.
Yeah, that's why I'm so surprised that it's only 40%. 60% of people basically are like, yeah, no, I wear the same underwear multiple days.
I knew a dude, Greg, in college. And, you know, obviously in college, the last thing you want to do is laundry, but you had to because, well, you just lived in a dorm and no one's going to do it for you. But he was so lazy, he would just turn his underwear inside out.
There's 5 ways to wear it. You got to put it frontward, backward, inside out, backward, inside out, according to this one.
He didn't go that crazy, but he would wear them he would wear front regular ways, then inside out, and then he would wash them.
Okay, that's not, no.
No, none of us thought it was normal.
No.
Like, none of us, and he looked at us like shocked that we didn't think he was giving us like the greatest piece of information ever. He's like, guys, have you ever thought about doing this? You know, like one of those things where you think what you're about to share with everyone is going to go over great and it doesn't.
No.
And he was mortified. And we all looked at him like, dude, what's wrong with you? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, it's clean on one side. Then you flip them. Now you got the clean side again. Like, no, man.
Then,
no.
Are you cleaning your pants when you take the dirty side and rub it all over your pants? No, probably
I don't
not.
He was washing his pants.
No.
There you go.
This is, oh, man.
Like, Greg, there's a washer and dryer on our floor. All you have to do is provide the washing detergent and the dryer sheets. Like, that. You need to wash your stuff. This is messed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a smelly dude.
Well, I wonder why. 23% of people say they've never cheated on a test.
Okay, liars.
No, there are some people that are honorable.
Yeah.
Not me. No. No, I took pride in cheating on tests.
And
especially in junior high school and high school. College, I actually made an effort. I didn't want to cheat. Like, I wanted to, because I was trying to learn things that would hopefully help me in my future. That was not right, but, you know, I tried.
How about your Vic?
I don't think I cheated on tests, but I did have other ways to get good grades. I would suck up to the teachers, but not in the, like, kissing her ass kind of a way. I would just become her best friend.
Like, and you think that really got you better grades?
Well, I remember, like, all class period, everyone was working on their stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, you know what? Mrs. Ward, I totally didn't get a chance to finish. She's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, wow. Okay, then it worked.
Yeah, she called me an old soul, like we were BFFs.
Oh, come on. I hated people like you in school.
I was just like, I wasn't being snobby.
Yeah, cheating all the time.
I would write notes on masking tape, put it on the inside of my shirt. Taking a test, I'd flip it over and look and be like, okay, there's the answer to that.
Inside of my dress shirt for high school was just covered in my masking tape notes.
Oh,
that's a good move. I never even thought of something like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. We had a scam where some people would able to get, like, if you took the test earlier in the day, like, certain periods would take it. We would work in cahoots, like, okay, well, this time get us the answers. And then if you have a multiple choice, I would mark my pencil with a little, like, the answer is C. I put 3 dots for the first thing on the pencil. B, 2 dots is the next one.
Wow.
And I have like Morse code based, or like Braille.
That's like some FBI stuff going
on. Yeah.
I think I was more into cheating than actually like doing well on the test. Like, it was the thrill of not getting caught.
You were studying for the cheat. I get you.
Yeah. It was like, oh, how can I scam this? Like, it was all about the scam. Yeah.
That's awesome.
See, yeah.
I was a late bloomer. There was always one I wanted to do, whether high school or college, but I've seen girls like tape the answers to the inside of their cleavage and wear a low-cut shirt so they could just kind of peek down and get the answers. I'm still a late bloomer. I haven't gotten there yet. But.
Oh, I see what you mean. You didn't have the equipment yet.
No.
Ah.
So you kind of did what I did, but they had the boobs to work with.
Man, all right.
Lucky girls.
How about 10% say they've never told a secret they weren't supposed to share? Again, it's just the never have I ever poll.
I'm trying to, you know.
I mean, come on, hasn't it? I mean, that's amazing if you are, I mean, it's a low percentage, but still, someone has had to tell somebody something.
I'm a pretty decent vault when it comes to, like, when, I mean, I share some stuff with my wife, like, if it's stuff that I know will have no impact on her, and I have no fear of her, like, screwing over somebody by knowing this information, but if somebody tells me something, I won't share it.
Is it because you'll forget?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I know how it feels when you divulge information to somebody and you're thinking that you can trust them, and then they go off and tell someone, and I'm like, you son of a bitch.
I always...
How hard is it just not to tell somebody?
I do have, like, a thing. Whenever I do tell anybody, I will assume they tell at least one or two people, that being their spouse, and if I don't want their spouse to know, I just won't tell them.
See, that do you...
Like, that is an okay thing for me. Like, oh, you can tell your wife. Yeah, sure.
You have to assume that. You have
to assume
that if someone is married, they're going to tell their spouse something. But this 10% say they've never, ever told anyone.
That's
just like, no. Yeah, that's... Come
maybe on. Maybe they're mutes.
Or they don't have friends.
Yeah, you know what? Mutes that don't have friends, that's really difficult to really spread secrets. How about 43% said they've never lied about their age?
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a
lie. You know what?
I clearly never went to college and wanted to get into a bar.
I've overestimated, because I feel like if I tell you that I'm older than I am, then, you know, you'll be like, you look pretty good.
You lied the opposite way.
Yeah, I go the other way.
I'm 75.
Yeah. Well, I keep, sometimes I forget, and I think, okay, this year I'm going to be 60 whatever, and so I just automatically think I'm already that age.
I do that, especially, like, the months after my birthday, I always forget how old I am. I'm like, 35, 6? What am I?
There are times I have to ask my wife, like, how old am I? Again, yeah. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to do the math.
Yeah, you can't,
like,
do the math that quick.
It's just not, man. When you hit 69, can you stay 69 for like the next 3 years after that?
Yeah, should be able to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get there before. Well, I hope I get there before all of you guys, but I should. That'll be.
How would we beat you to 69?
Well, because I didn't make it.
Oh, jeez.
That's how you beat me to 69. You guys live to 69, and I don't. That's how you do it.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Well, keep your fingers crossed that happens. What do you mean?
That you make it. It's going to be awkward that we have this audio out there in the world.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know what? You'll remember me at those days and go, you know what? We're going to be 69 for him. We're all going to be healthy.
We'll all break down. Like, he just didn't make it to 69.
He didn't make it to the nice number, but we're going to do it for him.
Yeah. Like, sir, you've been 69 for the last 4 years. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep going with this number until... I don't look it.
And if I'm not mistaken, my father made it to 69 before he passed away, but he made it to that age. I think he did pass away at 69, but how about, you know what, he held on to that age.
He held on.
That's what we said to him. Dad, if you can just wait a couple more months, you'll be 69. He's like, I'll do it for you, kids. Nice. All right, well, that was a touching tribute. We've got a list of surprising jobs that celebrities once had, and this list just came out. And in the list, how about this? Lion tamers, these celebrities, some of them were. Concession worker at baseball games. Phone sex operator. I'll tell you who had these jobs at 717 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Pop culture website put together a list of surprising jobs that celebrities had before they were famous.
Oh, this is always fun. Always fun to see what people were doing before they became multimillionaires.
Now, you guys know Christopher Walken, the cowbell guy, right?
Never heard of him.
You know, the watch, I carried this watch up my, for all those years.
Pulp Fiction.
You don't know Christopher Walken?
No, I do. I just think it's funny that you went with the cowbell guy because I don't know him for that.
Yeah, see, I would have gone Pulp Fiction before cowbell guy. Yeah. I go Pulp Fiction, Fatboy Slim video.
Oh.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Him dancing. Yeah.
I feel like the cowbell is the most recent, isn't it?
No. Wedding Crashers. He was
Wow, I don't even remember him in Wedding Crashers.
He was in Joe Dirt. He was in, he's in a lot of stuff.
All right, you're a Christopher Walken hot file, that's for sure. I mean, because you know more stuff that he's
I don't remember him in Joe Dirt at all.
He was the guy that the guy from New York that he's like his friend, and then he like he gets caught because Joe Dirt outs him on TV.
Okay,
and he was like the mob guy.
I don't remember him in Wedding Crashers either.
He was the dad.
I remember him in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, how about Christopher Walken was a lion tamer trainee when he was 16 years old? Of course, this is a long time ago.
Wow.
A long time ago.
How old is he right now?
He's in his 70s, right?
What do you think? It's 75?
I would say, I'll say 75. Yeah. I'll go 74.
79.
Whoa, I should have went 76. That would have been, Price is Right, I would have been the man. Yeah, 79.
I guess you got to learn somewhere to become a lion back in those days, but I would never think that's a job I want. Can I learn how to be a lion tamer? Because all you need is one bad day at the job, and then you're done.
That's it.
Also, it seems like you have to be older. 16 years old seems young to me to work with lions.
You know, you got to have youth and stupidity,
I think,
in order to be willing to learn how to be a lion tamer.
Yeah.
Danny, back then, though, all those years ago, we're talking 60 years ago, over 60 years ago, 16 was a lot older than it is now. It really was. At 16, you were expected to do a ton of stuff. Mm. Tom Hanks sold peanuts and soda at a baseball stadium when he was 14 years old.
Huh.
And again, at 14, why are you allowed to sell anything? But I guess you can.
Yeah, I figured that maybe back in those days, that was kind of like an under the table type of a job anyway. Like, you're just like, hey, go out there and sell some stuff. We'll float you like $5.
Now, does anybody know who Gabri Sidibe is?
Precious. From the movie Precious.
Oh, okay. That's Gollum.
Oh,
that's a whole different movie.
I don't know her then.
Oh, okay. So Gabri, who I guess she was a phone sex operator for 3 years before landing the lead job in Precious.
Oh, wow.
Imagine watching that movie and you're like, this girl's voice sounds so familiar.
I can't
put my finger on it, but this voice sounds so familiar. And you realize, oh my gosh, I used to pay $9.99 a minute to talk to her.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a powerful movie. You know, usually if you're doing any sort of pornographic stuff, you don't get to, you know, be in a movie like that and be like a serious actor.
Yeah, but I'm sure nobody knew. She could share that after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to do a Google search and find. I'd imagine there's so many people that are phone sex operators back in those days we would never even know.
Yeah, you do have to have some acting ability as a phone sex operator because you don't obviously, you know, there's no visual that goes along with it. So you really got to get people going with your voice.
Yeah.
So, all right.
You just got to do the whisper voice.
Hey. Oh, is that all you got to do?
Hey.
Wow, it sounds like you are.
What are you wearing?
Okay.
Please don't quit your day job.
No, I feel like you're...
All right.
Either you're like a serial killer, you have a white van somewhere.
How pissed would you be if you called a phone sex line and all of a sudden it's become, hey, what are you wearing,
sir? Can we get the creep factor?
Oh, man.
I swear I'm a girl.
Some people would pay for that.
Yeah,
they would.
Yeah, you know, I guess you can find somebody. You got to find that person willing to pay. You know, I don't think you're going to.
Here's another person who's, you know, older, and that's Whoopi Goldberg, who worked as a morgue beautician after seeing an ad in the paper.
Oh.
I feel like that's nuts. Again, I don't know how many people would take that job.
But there's, you
know,
job today. Security.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to die at some point.
Yeah. And everyone's going to need makeup when they're dead.
Yep. Well, a good chunk of them.
Yeah. Taylor Swift. This is an interesting... Her family lived on a Christmas tree farm growing up, and her job was picking the praying mantis pods off the trees so they wouldn't hatch inside people's homes. I didn't know praying mantises hung out in Christmas trees. That's wild if all of a sudden you just go over there and you're like, oh, let's put the tinsel on. Ah! It bit me.
I don't know if a praying mantis makes that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praying mantises are small, aren't they?
Oh, you know what? I was thinking of Venus flytraps.
Venus flytraps?
Yeah, because those are the ones that can close on you and bite you. But still, praying mantises jumping out of your tree, that's something you'd probably be like, what the hell?
That's why we get the artificial man.
No, that's
I'm with you on that, brother.
Yeah, once a spider came crawling out of a tree, my wife's like, I'm done with real trees. And I was like, perfect.
But you got to wrap that thing because you'll get spiders if you don't do it correctly. If you don't put it away.
Wrap what thing?
Your tree, your fig tree.
Oh, she's right, because they go, the spiders
like you put
hang
it in the
garage.
Attic or something.
I was
they
like,
could.
We had a kid, clearly we're not wrapping that thing.
Hey. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay. It's the lukewarm topic of the day.
All right, so we've told you some surprising jobs that celebrities had, and we're wondering, how about you? What is a very odd, surprising job that you once had or you currently have? 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. What is the oddest job that you once had or currently have? We got your calls, we got your texts. We'll take them after STP on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Based on this list that we talked about of the surprising jobs that celebrities had, what is the oddest job that you once had or currently have? 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
So I was once a phone sex operator as well. I quit my job when I talked to somebody who sounded a lot like my dad. It wasn't, but it still freaked me out, and I was like, I got to be done with this.
Oh, that would be, yeah, just the possibility would be, no.
What is going on in your head when you're like, is this my, like, how do you even stay, like, how do you stay in the game?
Yeah. I wonder if they did. I wonder if they just hung up. I don't know. I think I might have been like, I gotta go.
And then the sense of relief when you realize, okay, I'm positive it is not him. So, okay, I can continue doing the job. But that was weird for a second.
But that was it. They were like, I don't want to take the chance. And then about your, you know, like, then you start wondering about your dad. Like, he's on the phone a lot.
Well, thankfully.
He says he's making business calls.
You're on the phone sex lines. I know you are because I talked to someone who sounded like you.
Yeah, it had to be dad. True. 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. David in Bellingham, you are on The Rock.
Morning, how you doing?
Morning, David. Welcome to the show. So what about you? Is it an odd job you had or still have?
Oh, I had it a long time ago.
Well, what did you do?
So there's a funeral home up on Queen Anne, and my job was to go back in the back side of the mausoleum, kind of in the old dungeon area. And up there was a whole wall of unclaimed ashes of cremation.
Okay.
And so some of them were falling apart. So my job was to take them off the wall, wrap them up in plastic, and record the day they died and their names and stuff like that.
Dude, how long did you do that job for?
Damn.
Well, I only did it for like 2 months. So my dad gave me that job because he knew the funeral home director and because I got kicked out of school. So that was kind of like my punishment.
Did you go right back to school after those 2 months and said, I will never screw up again?
Oh, yeah, kind of, sort of. It took me a little while, but I got back.
That is wild. I mean, it's wild that people get cremated and nobody claims them. Like, yeah, we hated that guy, so just keep him there.
Maybe just kind of crazy and they forgot.
Yeah, some of them go back into the 1800s, too.
Whoa. 1800 cremations are hanging out there and you're wrapping them up? Whoa.
They were, yeah. Some of them were leaking.
Oh, and then where do they go after you categorize them and all that? What happens to them then, you know?
Man, I don't know. I just did what they told me, and then I left.
I kind of would have that mentality too, just punch in and punch out.
Eventually.
So that was his job. Then somebody else had to have the disposal job, right? Like, to do something with these categorized ashes? Or does someone have to store them in their house? I mean, I'm fascinated by, he had to take the names down. Like, he had to categorize them.
What are the lunch break conversations like with everyone there? Like, sitting in the kitchen. You know, we have weird conversations, but we're not surrounded by dead things.
No. Man, you got, was it Whoopi Goldberg that was doing makeup for dead people? And then this guy is categorizing ashes? Wow.
Some people, that doesn't faze them at all. I couldn't be that person.
No.
The moment I would step into that room, I would feel like, oh boy, this is like the start of a horror film.
Apparently, I did a little more reading on it. Her boss, when she went to go talk to him or interview him, laid on the table with a blanket over him. And when she walked in, he scared her, pretending to be alive.
Oh, this for what? For Whoopi?
For Whoopi. And he's like, this is the worst that could happen. Now that you've experienced it, can you handle working here? Like, you've already experienced it. You're fine.
Oh, you mean like a dead person rising? Like,
yes.
Oh, I thought he was trying to prove that she's working in a fun environment.
Oh.
Like, look, we play silly pranks on each other.
That's what I would have thought, too.
Right?
To be honest.
But it's like, hey, this is the worst that could have happened. It's okay. You're fine. If you want to keep working, you can. It's like, it was one of those, like, test your, you know, see if you really are up for it.
That is the worst that could happen. And I don't want that to happen, so I'm out.
Yeah, there's too many movies I've watched.
Yep.
I can't do it.
But she still did it.
Let's go to Cody in Tacoma. Cody, you are on the Rock.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Cody, what was the oddest job you once had or maybe still have?
So I was a sprinkler boy back in like the late 90s.
I don't even know what that means. Is that a term in the adult film industry?
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, but no.
Did you work for R. Kelly?
I was like a teenager. I lived in an apartment complex, and I'd walk around. There were 27 buildings. So I'd go to each building and set the sprinklers out, turn them on. By the time I made the loop around the whole property, it was time to move them all. So I'd move all the sprinklers. And then by the time I made that loop, it was time to shut them all down for the day. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? There's a guy that I noticed in Bellevue at the public park that they have in Bellevue near Bellevue Square. And this dude, during the fall, has to take all the leaves out of the duck water pond. Like, they have a little area of duck water pond around.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, it seems like his job never ends. Like,
I hope they don't drug test somebody like that. Like, let him be, get stoned and pick up leaves out of a pond. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, I feel like you're right, Steve. He looked like a kind of guy that really enjoyed. And I think, like, the sprinkler boy is the same kind of job where, you know, you just, hey, whatever, man. If this is all you got to do. Do it however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, just because you look at that and go, this guy is like, he's got to go around a circle, because pretty much that's what we all do. We walk around a giant circle to get some exercise around this park. And there's, you know, it's circled by also these little water areas where the ducks hang out. And he's just like, I mean, scooping up the leaves. And I'm going, it's fall. There's like a skillion leaves. This guy is going to, by the time he goes around and does the whole thing, it's like the Golden Gate Bridge. There's more leaves back where he started.
So crazy.
Yeah, that's his gig. I don't know. Now I don't know what he does, because they're all gone. The leaves are gone. Now what does he do? You know, does he go find dead people and move
Maybe that's the next step. I don't know.
What if that's his whole life, is he does all those weird jobs, like, depending on the time of year it is? Well,
someone's got to do it.
Yeah. It's not a bad gig. Let's go to Stash. Stash in Snohomish, you are on the Rock.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Stash, welcome to the show. So how about you? What was the oddest job you once had?
Right now, I'm currently a grave digger.
Jeez, what is happening?
Wow.
What is going on? It's all about death on this show.
I like it.
All right, so you're that guy. And is it 6 feet? Is that as far as you go? Is that really still the standard?
Yeah, about five.
Oh, five now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Saves time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? They're cutting efficiency back on everything. You know what I mean? I used to get my full 6 feet. I want 6 feet. Don't short feet me.
We'll put that in your thing, you short feeder.
Yeah. So you spend a lot of time in a graveyard. Have you ever found any recipes on a grave?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, actually, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, the reason we're asking is that earlier we talked about this TikTok gal who's become famous on TikTok because she basically creates food from all of the recipes that are on headstones in different graveyards around the country. And one was in Seattle, as a matter of fact. Because sometimes people die, they go, they're famous for their food, so they put the recipe on the headstone. And so you haven't seen that. All right, well, Stash, how long have you been a gravedigger?
A little over 10 years.
Dang. All right, and did you have to have any sort of skills?
Job security? Everyone dies.
That's exactly
right.
Well, I mean, at some point, don't we run out of space? You know, that's what I worry about, Stash, is that we're going to run out of land in order to be digging graves. You know, it's...
bunk beds.
Actually...
bunk graves.
That sounds dumb, but they actually would do that in New Orleans. Like, they would put one person in, they'd hold the... other, if somebody else in the family were to die, they'd keep them in the refrigerator. When that person died and decomposed, they would smush them down, all the ashes and stuff would go on the bottom, and then you put the new person on top.
What?
You focus on a lot of weird things that people would stuck like one ear out the other. And, like, you remember these things. It's very interesting.
And I remember this from high school. I didn't really remember anything else from that class except this weird anecdote the teacher taught. Nothing to do with the class either.
Stash, do you have any bunk bed graves that you know of that you've done?
Have any what graves?
Yeah, like Vicky's talking about. Like
you stack them on top of each other.
Yeah, like stackables.
Oh, they do. They bury people double depth, you know, put one vault right on top of another.
Wow. So it does happen.
They should make Lego caskets then, at least. You know, that way they kind of like fit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right on top of it. And just don't step on them. That's all you got to do.
Well, yeah, be on the dirt. Silly.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So, Stash.
Yeah, some of the cremation spaces. Exactly. Well, they look like little miniature houses for people. You know, you can fit 6 or 8 different people in there. All little granite castle.
I thought people kept. I didn't know they had spaces for them. I thought people kept all the cremation stuff at their house.
Sometimes.
Oh, you mean what's the point? I mean, if you get cremated and you're still taking up space in a public area, I feel like, what's the point? I mean, that's the old, cremation was supposed to keep you from taking up space.
Well, you're taking up less space.
Yeah, I guess.
Way less space.
Wow. And Stash?
Probably cheaper and more affordable for some people. I don't know.
Did you go to school for this? Do you have to have any sort of skill to dig graves?
No, you're just going to be afraid, not be afraid to work outside, you know, work hard, you know. Pretty easy detail.
And do you have a fear of like falling into the grave and people not knowing, and they just like throw the dirt? Because that happens in movies. That's what I'm afraid of. That's why I won't. I don't want to be a mortician because they'll get up and attack me. And then the other one is that they'll bury me alive. You don't have any of those fears, do you?
Well, strangely enough, you mentioned that. I was digging a grave and I got to go down and smooth out the bottom of it. Well, it was a double depth hole. And then part of the side collapsed on me and buried me up above my knees.
Oh, no, that's it. I'm out. See? I am out.
So what happens in that situation? Do you have, like, a buddy that gets you out, or do you just have to, like, dig yourself out and you get out?
Oh, it was just above my knees, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But
so you didn't think it was a grave situation?
Oh, God.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
We're canceled.
No, Dad. I didn't think it was a great situation.
Aren't you glad you called in, Stash?
You know, he has the voice. I don't know what a grave robber or a grave robber. Grave digger.
He's a grave digger, Danny.
Think that, too. But he has, like, the voice of, like, what I would imagine one to have.
Yeah, like The Undertaker.
Yeah, you do. It's a good point, Stash. You do sound like someone that would be working in a graveyard.
Thanks.
There you go. Well, I mean, he's not going to sound like Chuckles the Clown. Hey, guys, zoinks.
Never know.
Yeah, but I mean, he does. He does have a good voice, like, hi, how are you?
Rest in peace.
Exactly. Yeah, so instead of going, hey, kids, I'd like to dig a grave for you. You know, he doesn't have that going on. That'd be great. Hey, Stash, thanks for calling, and thanks for not dying. Yeah. We appreciate that.
It took a weird turn.
Yeah. Likewise.
There you go. Everybody's happy.
Someone just texted in, weirdest job I've ever had. My OnlyFans, as Penelope Rose. I've had requests to rate somebody's member from 1 to 10. Make videos stepping on various items like food, balloons, and stuff. A lot of feet stuff and so much more I can't say on the radio. I don't kink shame. It's been a wild ride. I love every minute of it.
Okay, first off, if you have to rate somebody's member 1 to 10 and they're paying to be on your OnlyFans, you know that you're going to give them a high rating, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Depends on the guy's kink.
What a guy likes to be told he's like the worst?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are certain kinks where they want to feel like inferior, like by like a woman, or like want to be compared to another man. It's a whole like cuckold thing.
That's not me, man. I want you to tell me I'm the best you've ever seen. That's my kink, because it never happens.
That is an extreme kink for someone to say that you're the best they've ever seen.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks. Again, if you were an OnlyFans person, you're not supposed to kill my dream, Steve.
Oh, I wouldn't give you a good rating.
No, you wouldn't. And I would not. You know, and I'd take my money back.
Yeah, do you ever give anyone a 10? Or do you not want any?
Oh, she's gone.
Well, she never was there. It was a text.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were looking at the phone line. I'm like, oh, shit, guys, there's nobody there. Oh, she was not even a call. All right, good. Congratulations to all of us.
Yeah.
It really is. Today's a day where I'm not. I don't know where I am, but I'm not here.
Are you in Port Townsend?
Yeah.
We're here because we're not all there?
I don't know what's going on, but anyway.
Oh, she's gone. We've never talked to her. She's on the text line.
You looked at me like you wanted to ask when I felt
like...
throwing
that out there for everyone. Like if someone's sending you a picture to rate their member, are you going to ever give anyone a 10? I feel like you can't just pump the...
You have to pump them up if you want their money, don't you?
Give them a 9.
Oh, all right.
No, there's room for improvement.
I would take a 9.
Yeah, it's like take a better picture for me and then charge them for that picture.
Oh, there you go.
Bam. Come back to me next week. Do some practice and exercises and better lighting.
Exercises.
Yeah, get a ring light. Maybe, put a filter on it, a top hat, some googly eyes.
If you put googly eyes, I'm giving you a 10.
I'm giving you a 15 out of 10. That's okay. A winner.
Well, that's what you got to do then.
Plus, you give them a 10, all of a sudden they're going to think that you want to meet up with them because you have perfection.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I would think.
Mm. You don't want that.
No. All right. So what do you got to go? Maybe 7? 7's good.
Yeah, I think a 7 is a very fair one.
Yeah, 7's good. 7 makes me feel like I'm okay, but yeah, I still have room for improvement. But I also don't think you probably seem better.
I think I'll go 8.
8?
Yeah.
Well, you'll go 8.
Well, I want to keep their monthly subscription.
All right, there you go. All right.
I
was going to, I'd take a...
Somebody's subscribing to multiple women, and one's giving them a 7, the other one's giving them an 8. Of course, you're going to stick with the 8-er.
That's a good way to put it. A popular rock song just got re-recorded and turned into a Star Wars anthem. You're going to hear it at 7:47 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How much does bankruptcy cost?
Usually with my office, we do a flat fee that includes all your court costs, filing fees, credit counseling, credit reports, and one cost. In Chapter 13 cases, that usually starts at about $900. With Chapter 7 cases, the total cost, including all your court costs, attorney fees, is usually about $1,500. We offer payment plans on Chapter 7, so you can start a file with my office for as little as $200. You can send your creditor calls to us. We'll take your creditor calls while you gather up your information and make payments on the rest of the fees. With Chapter 13 cases, we can make payment arrangements in most cases as well and get your case filed even sooner in a Chapter 13 case because of the reorganization aspect to it.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.